going to talk game shows here. And you know, if you're a regular listener of this show, you know how much I love the game shows. I especially love like the when the Game Show Network and when Buzzer, when they, you know, they show the old repeats. Those are fun, the old ones. But Price is Right, which is one of the classic game shows of all time, is coming live. Drew Carey will not be there. But it might be Todd Newton, everybody. Hey, it's Todd Newton. It's going to be at the Chicago Theater, and they'll have all the great games, and you'll have a chance to win. And it'll be fun to do that, to go to that live. Everybody loves The Price is Right. And another classic, Wheel of Fortune, is making the news, because Wheel of Fortune is going to give away its first house in show history. After more than 30 years on the air, Wheel of Fortune is raising the stakes for its next grand prize as part of the game show's Home Sweet Home giveaway. One lucky viewer will win a $350,000 home in Latitude Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett's new retirement community in Daytona Beach, Florida. The Home Sweet Home episodes will run from October 29th through November 2nd, culminating in the residential giveaway made possible by a partnership between America's Game, Minto Communities, and Margaritaville Holdings. To enter the sweepstakes, fans must tune in to the Home Sweet Home programming, record the bonus round puzzle solution, and submit the answer to the show's website. Though an extra entry will be granted to each Wheel Watchers Club member, the winner will be selected at random. Are there Wheel Watcher Club members out here? Anybody? Are you a Wheel Watcher? 312-981-7200. After 34, what does it mean if you're in the Wheel Watchers Club? What kind of benefits do you get?
I think when they spin the wheel at the end, you're allowed to, you know, if you've got a certain combination of letters, you know, they'll be like, oh, your Wheel Watcher contestant today is QX5782. So you can play along at home and
win prizes. Oh, okay. All right. After 35 seasons, it's not an easy feat to do something for the first time. But thanks to Latitude Margaritaville, we're doing that by giving away a house, Wheel of Fortune executive producer Harry Friedman said. Our viewers welcome us into their homes each night, so we're returning the favor by welcoming them, one of them, into a new home of their own. The beachside dwelling will serve as the grand prize, while 20 first prize winners will receive $500 Margaritaville gift cards to use at the Margaritaville online store. What do you buy at the Margaritaville online store? What do you get, like T-shirts and booze and stuff? Is that
parrot paraphernalia.
And parrots and stuff, yeah. I've been to one of those Margaritaville burger places. You ever been to the Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville burger?
I have not been to there.
I'm trying to remember where the hell we were. We were in Michigan. We were coming back. It was my ex-wife and my ex-mother-in-law and I were coming back from Michigan. And we stopped at one of those places. As well as you can go to the limited Margaritaville shops and resorts. On-air contestants taking part in the Home Sweet Home programming will compete for vacations to Margaritaville resorts in Florida, the Caribbean, and the Great Smoky Mountains. Buffett's Latitude Margaritaville is a community for persons aged 55 and older who wish to grow into a laid-back Florida lifestyle. The establishment includes single-family and villa homes and neighborhoods. By the way, just reading that, Dan, I am just 2 years away from qualifying to go to the Latitude Margaritaville community.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. They have golf cart accessible
streets. All of a sudden, there's a job in the overnights that opens up in 2 years. We know where you are.
The establishment includes single-family and villa homes. It's got neighborhoods, golf cart accessible streets, a town square set up for live music and dancing, a pool and beach entry, cabanas, tiki huts, a poolside bar, tennis, pickleball, and bocce ball courts. What the hell is pickleball? I know what bocce ball is. If I didn't know what bocce ball is, I'd have to have my Italian card completely taken away from me. What is pickleball? Am I missing something here? Pickleball and bocce ball courts, a fitness center with aerobic studio, an indoor lap pool, spa, fitness classes and wellness programs, a pet spa, and a dog park.
Pickleball is a paddle sport that combines elements of badminton, tennis, and table tennis. So it's like tennis, but on a much smaller court with much smaller rackets.
I have never heard of that. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I had not heard of that.
Wow. And why is it called pickleball? There are no pickles involved, right? You don't have to have a pickle in your mouth or anything when you're playing. I've never heard of that before. I never even knew that that was a thing. That's pretty crazy.
The sources claim the name pickleball was derived from that of the Pritchett family who created the game, pickles, or for the term pickle boat, referring to the last boat to return with its catch. The name came after it reminded me of the pickle boat and the crew where oarsmen were chosen from the leftovers of the boat. Somehow the idea of the name came for our dog Pickles, who was attached to naming of the game, but Pickle wasn't around, and so the we named the game after our dog.
So basically that's what it came from. It has no, there's there pickles have absolutely nothing to do with this paddle game.
Apparently not.
Okay. Named after a named after a dog. All right. John Collin, who is the CEO of Margaritaville, said, "We can't think of a more fitting place for Wheel of Fortune to land than in Margaritaville. Regardless of their current latitude, we look forward to offering the show's contestants and viewers a chance to win a piece of paradise." All right, so get in there, man. Get into your home sweet home giveaway. You got a chance to win a house in Margaritaville where you can play all the pickleball you want. So that's the latest thing in Wheel of Fortune. Dan, you ever watch Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, it was a favorite of Eileen's dad, so we watch it a lot when we're not watching.
It's a fun game. It is. It's fun, and you know they give away a lot of money on that show. I don't watch it regularly, but every time I watch it, I'm like usually like again reminded of how much money they give away on that show. You could win a lot of money on that show.
I've never seen the final question be less than $30,000.
I know it's crazy. And the amount of money that you can accumulate during the course of the game, they give away a lot. Well, that show's been on forever, and it's been a real favorite. Is it still on at 6:30?
Yes.
Still on at 6:30. And families watch it, and bars watch it. People in bars watch it. Big game. Now, I remember back in the day when Wheel of Fortune first started. I don't know if you remember. Dan, you probably weren't even around when Wheel of Fortune first started, but Chuck Woolery was the host.
Really?
Yeah. Chuck Woolery. I'm trying to remember who else hosted it, because I think they went through like three or four hosts before Sajak got it. And Sajak must have been hosting this. How long has Sajak been hosting the show? Like 35 years? It's got to be something along that. It's got to be at least 30 years that he's been hosting it. And Vanna White's still doing the letters. Although she doesn't really have to do anything. She just has to walk over and touch them now. Remember when they had to actually turn the letters?
Yep.
But but back in the day when it first started, you know, as just basically I believe just a daytime one of the many daytime game shows, because you know, back in the day, it was fantastic because there were game shows on during the day, and they're not anymore. That's not a thing anymore. Everything is dominated by daytime talk now. There aren't even that many soap operas. I think there's only like a couple of soap operas left. It used to be all game shows, all soap operas, all day, and I love that. But instead of getting cash, you would have to spend your money. You would have to shop. And for the crappiest items, the prizes on Wheel of Fortune were awful. I mean, you could get appliances and stuff, but it was like usually some like a porcelain dog, or some terrible piece of art, or like an end table, you know. That took up half the running time of the show back in those days, because like you would do they would solve the puzzle. So the puzzle would be solved, the winner would be announced, and then Chuck Woolery would go over and say, "All right, we're going to shop in the jungle room, okay?" And then they show the jungle room, which has like really tacky furniture and stupid rugs and all kinds of stuff. And everything was overpriced because you had to shop. So it would be like, "I'll take that rug for $1,200," and it was like a rug that was worth $40. And so you had to shop until you were out of money. And if you had any money left over, it would go to a gift certificate. So you did not walk with cash. on that show. Whereas now, obviously, as we said, you can get cars, you can get trips, and big amounts of cash. But man, and I'm telling you, that just watching the people shop was so ridiculous. And these terrible, like, second-rate pieces of furniture and art that they would... do you guys remember this? 312-981-7200. You remember when half of the show was puzzles and the other half was people shopping for crappy stuff that they had to buy with their money? And then we'll put the rest on a gift certificate for you. What? You know, the fun part of that show then were the puzzles. Like, the puzzles were fun. But the actual winning sucked because you had to buy these stupid items with your money and then end up with a $12 gift certificate. So you've got bad furniture and porcelain monkeys and a $12 gift certificate. That's what you walked away with back in the original days of Wheel of Fortune. But now it has some of the best prizes and the most cash that they give away. And it's still a fun show because you got the puzzles. So, all right. You know what I like on Wheel of Fortune? Are the puzzles, the clues that are like connected. You know what I mean? It's like you have to figure out the puzzle as well as just what it is. You often have to connect them. That's always fun. That's always fun. So, all right. We were talking about Wheel of Fortune here. They're giving away a house. You can get involved on the Home Sweet Home days and get yourself a house courtesy of Jimmy Buffett and his parrot. So why don't we take a break? We come back. Let's open up the phone lines. What are your favorite game shows? Which ones do you watch? What were your favorites of the past? Have you ever been on a game show? As you know, our good friend Brian Noonan has been on a couple of game shows. I know he was on Greed. Speaking of Chuck Woolery hosted Greed. And we'll talk about that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday continues. Jim in Carbondale requested Eddie Harris, and that's Les McCann with Compared to What? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Two for Tuesday, man, here! That's one artist, two songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. How's it going, everybody? We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. And, we are talking about game shows because Wheel of Fortune is giving away a house as part of their Home Sweet Home run of shows. And you could win a house. Jimmy Buffett built it. No, he didn't. I don't want to say he built a house. So, And now we wanted to talk about your favorite game shows. What are the best ones? Which ones do you watch? And we can, you know, get into all the game shows. Remember, you know, obviously in the early 2000s when the game shows, the primetime game show made that huge, you know, sort of comeback with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And then all of the other ones that came, they were cheap to produce. And that's why for a while there, for a couple of years, solid couple of years, those primetime game shows, you know, like The Weakest Link and Greed and Millionaire, just dominated the airwaves for a while. And game shows made a huge comeback. And you have the Game Show Network, which shows original game shows that are new and not so new. But Game Show Network used to be fantastic. It's not really anymore. Buzzer has kind of taken over for the Game Show Network because Buzzer shows all the old game shows. They do a black and white thing in the morning. You know, I think it's like between 7 and 9 a.m. They show all the classic black and white, like What's My Line, Names the Same, To Tell the Truth, all that stuff. And now they've actually moved it up a little bit, and they've been doing some of the late 60s, early 70s To Tell the Truth and What's My Lines, and those are fantastic. So, but it's you know, I've loved game shows my whole life. You know, grew up watching all the classics. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Dan in Michigan says, I'm 51 years old, and back in the early 80s when I was watching late-night TV on a Saturday night on WFLD 32, they had You Bet Your Life reruns with Groucho. I became addicted to the show, loved when the duck would drop down with the secret word. That show was my favorite game show. You know, the thing about that, about You Bet Your Life with Groucho, was that was on weeknights. And maybe they showed it on Saturdays, but I remember watching that every weeknight. It was like, right, you know, they would do like stuff like they would do like MASH, and they would do Sanford and Son. They would do Make Me Laugh, speaking of game shows. And of course, The Honeymooners. And then, you know, that's when they would do the reruns of You Bet Your Life. The thing about that show was it was like sort of disguised as a game show, you know? And the reason I say that is because the reason people tuned in wasn't really to see the game. Because, you know, a couple would come out And eventually, you know, George Fenneman would announce, he was the announcer, George Fenneman. And he would announce, they would say the secret word at the beginning of the show. The duck would come down, they would tell you the secret word. You know, the contestants wouldn't know it. If they said it, they would get $100, and the duck would come down and they would get $100. And then they were asked sort of general trivia questions in different categories. So it was just a real simple thing. But the reason why people watched that show was not so much about the game itself, but it was the interaction between Groucho and the contestants. That's what that game was about. That's what that show was about. The game was secondary. The game took a back seat. But they would bring out these really interesting, weird people who sometimes would have like a special skill, or they did something weird, or, you know, so it was something that Groucho could latch onto, have a conversation and make a bunch of jokes and get a bunch of laughs. And then maybe they can, one of the contestants, you know, would give you an example of what they would do. They would demonstrate. That's what that show was really about. And then, oh yeah, by the way, we've got these trivia questions. You can win some money. So that, you know, that's, it was really about the byplay and the interaction between Groucho and the contestants. That's what made that show special. Okay, let's see. We got a bunch of people who are on the line here talking about, people love game shows, Dan. They love them. Dave is in Maryland on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Nick? Long time no talk.
Thanks, man. Good. What do you got?
Well, I got three things. First of all, you just mentioned You Bet Your Life, and just a couple weeks ago, we were visiting in Wildwood, New Jersey. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was just channel surfing. They had a network called JLTV, Jewish Life TV, and they had an actual original "You Bet Your Life" from 1954, and they showed the whole thing straight through with the Chrysler DeSoto commercials and everything.
Oh, that's cool!
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, and the funniest part of that was there was a 78-year-old woman on there who insisted that Groucho put a cigar out.
Oh, really?
So eventually. Oh, yeah. So she said, "Now I'm not going to say anything until you put your cigar out." So he actually put his cigar out, and then he whipped another cigar out.
God. Groucho. All right.
And he didn't light it up.
He didn't light
it. So anyway,
okay.
I've been on two TV game shows in my life. In 1984, I was one of the original contestants on The Wheel of Fortune.
Oh.
When it was brand spanking new.
Now,
it was 2 years old at the time. And actually, earlier that year, they had tryouts here in Washington, D.C., and I was one of 20 people who was eligible to go out there, and you're right, I won exactly $1,200 worth of junk. I saw the puzzle was called, the puzzle was Motorcycle Escort, and then when I went shopping, I bought some crappy tennis clothes and some Gucci watch. That broke a few weeks later.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. That it used to be terrible. You'd have to spend all the money on a bunch of crap. It was terrible.
Yes, yes, it was horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did win a round, and I missed going to the final round by $100. But I still remember that the puzzle I figured out was Motorcycle Escort. Now, in 2012, I was on The Price Is Right, and I won a car.
Wow.
On YouTube, if you want to put in the YouTube search engine, the five tags price game for The Price Is Right, and the date was April 3rd, 2012, 4/3/12. You will see me standing next to Drew Carey, and you will see within 3 minutes and 46 seconds how it changed my life.
Wow. And now what game did you play to win the car?
It was called the five tags price game.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, and the date was April 3rd, 2012.
Okay, we'll have to check it out.
If you put that through on YouTube, you can see me, and there's one of the greatest bloopers ever. You will see it there that Drew Carey makes.
Okay.
And it's a riot.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call. I got to get to news, buddy, okay? Take care.
That's great. Bye.
All right, there you go. What a car on The Price Is Right. How about that? And $1,200 worth of crap from Wheel of Fortune. Oh, man. All right, we got a break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking all game shows here on WGN.
Yeah!
I like this twofer. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. 301 area code requesting John Carpenter's Halloween theme. We're going to hear another John Carpenter theme then. Yeah! So, yeah, it's Halloween time. Next Wednesday morning is Halloween. So we'll do our spooktacular. Well, first, we're going to talk to the guys from Movember, because as you know, November is Movember, and it's a great charity, and I participate every year. So on November 1st, I'm going to shave off my beard and my mustache and everything, shave it clean shaven, and then just grow a mustache. That's what it's all about, raising awareness for men's health and money. And you can follow along on my daily updates. I take a picture of my stupid face, and you can give some money to Movember. So we'll have the guys from Movember on, and then we're going to launch into all things spooky and scary with our annual Halloween Spooktacular. And I'm thinking about getting my future ex-wife, the lovely Dana DiLorenzo, on the show just to talk Ash versus Evil Dead. And she's making a lot of horror convention appearances. In fact, she's going to be in Minneapolis this weekend at a horror convention. Her and Lee Majors will be representing Ash versus Evil Dead. Good old Lee, her and the $6 million man. She'll be hanging out with the $6 million man. She was hanging out with me, the $30 man, the other day on Sunday night. So it's a big difference. So anyway, we might get her on just to talk horror, and we'll do all kinds of scary stuff. We'll bust out the scary sounds with Fartula, and Count Fartula and Fartenstein will be there. And so, all right, we are talking about game shows. The Wheel of Fortune game show is giving away a house for the first time. So that got us to thinking about great game shows. Got some texts here. 331 area code says, my favorite game show is Match Game with Gene Rayburn. That's the best. This is the best. I love it when some of the cast of the Carol Burnett Show made a surprise appearance on the show. That was fantastic. That's one of my favorites. I'll tell you what, though, man. You know, Dawson in the early, you know, the early part before he outstayed his welcome was great. And, of course, you can't top Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly. Don't even play around. And Gene Rayburn was, like, the greatest host ever. Great theme song, everything. The new version with Alec Baldwin doesn't even hold a candle. You know, we had Dick DiBartolo, who's been on the show many times. He wrote questions for the original Match Game, created Dumb Dora and Old Man Periwinkle. Those were all his creations, and he could not sit through an entire episode of the new one because it's not double entendre; it's just blue. They're just working blue now. 870 area code says, "Wait, Nick, you skipped right over the part that Jimmy Buffett owns and runs a retirement home." Yeah, no, that was in the news a long time ago, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean it's a thing.
No,
I mean,
it's legit. It is.
But it is surprising.
It is. That, yeah.
Mr. Yeah. Parrot Head.
Yeah. 312 area code says pickleball is played mostly by seniors on indoor tennis courts in Park Ridge and other suburbs. What's it? It's exclusive to Park Ridge and other suburbs. Okay. I didn't know. I've never heard of pickleball. This was the first time I ever heard of pickleball. You can play it with a parrot. All right, let's get to the phones. Here's Judy on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
All right.
Do you remember way back in the, I want to say, middle 60s? Now, you were probably a pup then, but Alan Ludden hosting Password.
Yeah.
And how he fell in love on air almost immediately with Betty White.
Yep, and they ended up getting married.
And they got married almost 6 months later.
Yep, they got married and they stayed married.
To this day, she always talks about her beloved Alan,
yeah,
which is great, because the woman is, what, 95 now?
She's 96.
And she's dynamic yet.
Yeah, 96 years old. And Alan Ludden died young.
He died of cancer.
Yeah, he died young and suddenly. And it was a really sad. Yep. It was a really sad time for Betty White, because they were. It sure was.
But then she turned her life to pets, and I think she named a couple of them Al or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, she, and I always prayed literally that I would find someone, you know, in my lifetime, which I did. Which I am still married to the man,
yeah.
But he's now in a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
And he's 78. But, I mean, he ended up in broadcasting, and he was in broadcasting for 40 years.
Mm.
And he was behind the cameras all the time.
All right.
Here in Milwaukee, and he started out in Illinois because he went to school in Illinois for broadcasting.
Mm.
And he started out in Rockford, and then from Rockford he moved to Madison, and from Madison he moved to Milwaukee, and that's where we met.
There you go.
And congratulations
on that, Judy.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you
have
very
a good
much.
Morning.
And yes, and also, just one more second. Thank you for the update on Steve and Johnny. Are they okay?
Yeah. They didn't suffer a great deal of damage. They're in Panama City Beach.
Right.
And on the other side is Panama City. Panama City got hit really hard. But
oh, okay.
on the other side where Johnny and Stephen Johnny's house is, Panama City Beach didn't get nearly as hit as Panama City.
Okay.
So.
Okay, and her dad's fine, okay?
Yes, everything. Everything is good.
Okay.
All right, Judy.
All right, thank you so much.
Sure,
take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Here's Lake Geneva Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Nick. Up here it's Jeopardy. And two funnies, my dog howls during Final Jeopardy, and it's on twice a day up here. We watch it, and then when my friends and nieces come home from school, we watch it again, and they think we're geniuses.
Oh. so they repeat it, and then you guys act like you didn't watch it earlier, and then you guys get all the answers. That's great. That's really great, man. You know, that would have come. Dan, thanks for the call. That would have come in great, though, Dan. When I used to hang out in the afternoons and have some cocktails at Simon's, because we would bet at Simon's. You would bet. Now, so what would be great is, you know, you couldn't play the jukebox. The jukebox would go off 3:30 as soon as Jeopardy started, because the old timers who sat at the end of the bar during the day and did the day drinking, they would be there. And if you walked in and tried to play the jukebox when the Jeopardy was on, they'd kill you. They would kill you. And it's like, it was the old timers, man. It was the hardcore daytime old timers who've been there since 11 a.m. You know what I mean? And this is the end of their session of drinking. And most of them would just, like, you know, nurse a beer or two during. It's not like they would get hammered, but they would just sit there and nurse a couple of beers and watch. And then Jeopardy was sort of the way that their day at Simon's ended. And you would bet on it. You would bet on Final Jeopardy to see if you could get it. And everybody would answer out loud. And they also did that. They did that at Ricochet's, too. Ricochet's did the same thing. But if you had the advantage, like Geneva Dan did, of being able to see it earlier that day and then coming in, you could just kill every day. Whenever I watch Jeopardy, you know, there are times when I just feel like, I think like most people, and I feel really stupid when I'm watching it. And you know, like when I, at the beginning of the first round of Jeopardy and beginning of Double Jeopardy, it's always like, you know, whenever they unveil a category and there's not like a pop culture or a movie category or a music category, I'm like, oh man, you know, when they're all like educational things that you should know, not superficial, stupid crap that is filled inside my brain. I always get disappointed. I'm not going to do well watching this. Where's the movie questions? What are we talking about here? Geography. Get out of here with that. Potpourri. Right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, my question was, actually, I thought about this when the guy called up and said he won the car. Is if you win that house, do you have to pay the taxes on it?
I would imagine you do. I would imagine you do, yeah. I mean, you got to pay the taxes on anything that you win on a game show.
Yeah, it's kind of sucky, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I did like the original Password.
Yeah, Password's a great game. Great. Classic
but
game.
I'm just curious about that.
No, yeah, you got to pay taxes on everything you win on a game show. All right, Glenn, thanks. That's like all these people who are thank you, Glenn. All those people who are doing the, hey, Dan, you didn't buy a lottery ticket, did you?
I did not.
Okay. Neither did I. But it's, what is it? It's up to like $1 billion, right?
1.6, yeah.
$1.6 billion. $1.6 billion. But then what is that? You get taxes. What do you get? $900,000 or something?
Well, it depends on.
$900 million.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, lump sums and you know, trusts and things like that. But yeah, I mean.
You got to pay the taxes.
I won't kick it out of bed for eating.
No. It's... Good point. Let's see. Trucker Rich says, I grew up in Rockford and my parents loved watching Wheel of Fortune. However, my dad would watch it on the porch on the local station and my mom would watch it in the living room on ABC7. There was a 10-second delay on my mom's set, so my dad would yell out the answer sooner than my mom, and it went on until she figured it out. That's hilarious. That's similar to Lake Geneva Dan. Trucker Rich's dad had a 10-second advantage on his mom. 312 area code says, I love the ceramic Dalmatian. Yeah, there you go. That's what you end up, that's one of the top prizes when you would shop on the old school Wheel of Fortune. Oh, I got to get the ceramic Dalmatian for $1,500. It's only worth $40. Let's see. Jesse said, growing up, I watched the Bozo Show, Name That Tune, and Double Dare. Name That Tune was an interesting. That was a great show. Name That Tune was a great show. I can name that tune in three notes. I could name it in one. Well, then name that tune. You know that's how Kathy Lee Gifford got her start.
I did not know that.
Singing on Name That Tune. She was like the singer on Name That Tune. Take it away, Kathy Lee. And I know Jim Lang hosted Name That Tune for a while. I think they went through like three or four hosts on Name That Tune, at least. And I'm trying to remember who the other hosts were. I know Jim Lang hosted it for a while. That's when I remember the most. The ceramic Dalmatian. 301 area code says, I always loved Hollywood Squares, even the short-lived Saturday morning version, Storybook Squares. Hollywood Squares is legendary. Peter Marshall? Yeah.
Your hosts of, or should I say presenters, according to Wikipedia, were Red Benson, Bill Cullen, George DeWitt, Richard Hayes, Dennis James, Tom Kennedy, and Jim Lang.
Oh, that's right. Tom Kennedy and Dennis James. I remember that. Yeah. That was for Name That Tune. Hollywood Squares, you had Peter Marshall, who was Pete LeCocq's dad. Pete LeCocq, ex-Cub baseball player. So Peter Marshall was the host, and of course your center square on the classic Hollywood Squares, your center square was the legendary Paul Lynn, who was hilarious on that show. Hollywood Squares was, you know, Hollywood Squares was an incredibly popular show, and they did a combination match game Hollywood Squares at one point. And what's his name? Bowser from Sha Na Na was the host. He used his real name, John Bauman. Bowser from Sha Na Na was the host. And they would split it. It was an hour long, and it would split between Match Game and Hollywood Squares. And then the other Hollywood Squares, let's see, that they had, as when I do, was John Davidson hosted Hollywood Squares for a while. And if I'm not mistaken, your center square on the John Davidson version was Jim JMJJ Jim Bullock from Too Close for Comfort. He played Monroe. And he was on that talk show with Tammy Faye Baker, Jim JMJJJM Bullock. I think on the John Davidson version, that was your center square. And then Tom Bergeron hosted Hollywood Squares, and Whoopi Goldberg was the center square. I remember at one time Shadow Stevens was on.
He was the narrator / bottom left.
Yeah. He was on the show. He's in a square, and he was like the voiceover guy. Shadow Stevens, legendary. Yeah, Shadow Stevens, man. Yeah. Jay says, I like The Movie Game, which aired evenings after supper in the mid-60s on WFLD-TV. The host was Army Archer to Variety Magazine, and with movie celebrities, it was similar to What's My Line. I remember that, too. They had reruns of that. They showed reruns of that. I thought that show was great. They should do that one again. And then 773 says, I loved Press Your Luck and its spinoff Whammy with Todd Newton. Hey, Todd Newton, man. Yeah, they brought the Whammy back about 10 years ago, brought Todd Newton out, dusted him off. They changed the name from Press Your Luck to Whammy. So they did that. They should have had, what's his name? David Koechner.
That's a good idea.
From Anchorman. He should have been those. Whammy! All right, let's take a break here. We got some weather here, and then after the weather, we'll take another break. And phone calls, texts, we're talking about game shows. And Dan's going to throw a few game show theme songs at me to see if I can guess them. These are really obscure. I've not, my track record's not real strong for these.
I'm kind of proud of the fact that you don't know these, because they usually last a season, if that.
It's so funny. All right, we'll take a break for the weather, and here it is. I can't, I'm so thrilled that the request of this, that the listener requested that. It's 301 area code to complete our two for Tuesday. Yeah! For John Carpenter. That's his band, the Coupe de Villes. And that's the theme from Big Trouble in Little China. They had a music video for it and everything, Dan. Because they 20th Century Fox thought that movie was going to be a big hit, and they thought they were going to have like a hit song. Nope. That's Carpenter, Nick Castle, who's a director in his own right. He is the Shape. He played Michael Myers in the first Halloween. Had him on the show. Met him several times. Tommy Lee Wallace, also a director, directed Halloween 3. And so those are all his buddies. They were in a band a long time ago, and they recorded, I mean, in the 60s. They were in a band like in the 60s, the Coupe de Villes. And then Carpenter and the Coupe de Villes. The video is ridiculous. It is because the movie came out in 1986. And as you can tell by some of the electronic instrumentation on that song, it's very, very, very 80s. But I love that song. I love it, man. And the movie tanked, unfortunately. Of course, like most of John Carpenter's movies, Big Trouble in Little China, not a critical success at all. And it completely bombed at the box office. No one went to see it. And yet now it's considered a classic, and they want to remake it with The Rock. Where the hell were you people in 1986? Nobody saw it in 86. The same thing happened with The Thing. Nobody went to go see The Thing in 1982 when it came out. Now it's considered one of the greatest science fiction horror movies ever made. Now it's a classic. Where the hell were you? And it almost ended his career, that movie. So, anyway, it makes me angry because people should understand. They should have understood the genius of John Carpenter years ago. And it's only in retrospect, 25 years later. I talked to Carpenter about this. I'm like, people don't like your movies until it's 25 years later. He's like, I know. I don't know what to say. Anyway, John Carpenter, twofer. Yeah! 312-981-7200. Here's Don on WGN. Hi, Don.
How you doing? How are you?
All right.
I just want to say I love your show.
Thanks, man.
And I like that show, Concentration, and The Price is Right. But I do have to agree with you with Jeopardy. I did horrible, man. I feel like...
You know,
I don't even know. You feel like a stump or something when you're watching it with people.
You know what's funny, Don? You know what's even worse is when they do College Jeopardy, when they do College Week, because then you feel even more stupid because it's like some 20-year-old kid. You know, it's College Jeopardy. That's when you feel even dumber is during College Jeopardy Week. So
I know, and then you feel bad with that. That's the most when you feel terrible with that. That's true.
Yeah.
And then also you're like, you went to school. And if you went to college, it's like, I should know something, right?
I should, right, but I don't. So,
no.
All right, Don, thanks, buddy.
All right, have a good one.
All right. You want to throw one of the themes at me real quick here? All right. And if I can't name it, then I might ask for some hints. I gotta tell you, man, I love game show themes. I love them. Can you clue me on here?
This was 82,
okay.
1981-82.
All right.
Featured Alex Trebek, sorry.
Alex Trebek?
Yes, as the host.
All right, he hosted several shows.
Mm-hmm. The announcer was John Barton.
Ooh.
Was a Canadian/American game show.
Oh, you're throwing a curveball at me here.
Canadian Bill would be very familiar with this show.
And the announcer, because you know the announcer that they used a lot in that time period, Johnny Olson. Johnny Olson is your announcer. He announces Price is Right. No, not now. Now he doesn't. I think Johnny Olson passed away, but he used to host Price is. He used to voice over Price is Right. He did Match Game. He did a ton of them. Okay, Canadian. Let's see. Alex Trebek hosted it. This could
featured contestants attempting to predict the outcome of survey questions conducted to the studio audience.
That sounds like Family Feud.
This show ended up going bankrupt, resulting in many contestants and staff never getting paid.
Oh my God!
Oh, maybe that's why Alex is so angry.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, let's see. Supermarket Sweep.
Pitfall.
Pitfall?
Pitfall.
I do remember the name. And it's also a game, a board game, Pitfall, isn't it?
And a video game.
And a video game.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, more of that to come to make me look stupid. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I like your show. Listen every morning.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of Jeopardy, and
in the early 80s, I lived out in the Phoenix area for a while, and there was a local tavern, and we'd have a running pool. Everybody put a dollar in, and yep. The first one to get the final Jeopardy question. Well, Jeopardy aired an hour earlier in Chicago, so I'd call back home, and I'd find somebody who watched Jeopardy, and I'd have the final Jeopardy answer. They thought I was a genius, but I think I threw my dollar down one time and said Mary Queen of Scots or something. They didn't even have to ask the question yet. I got busted, so.
Yeah, man, you can't do the answer without the question first, man.
Yeah,
that's going
to
give you away.
I think I had to buy a few rounds. The jig was up.
That's funny.
Hey, I like the show. I listen every morning.
Thanks,
it makes
man.
My drive in pleasurable. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Tom. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
That's great. I love all these cheating game show stories. These are fantastic. It's awesome. Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, and that's coming up right after we take a break. You know, it's funny, Dan, I was looking up at the screen, you know, where I can see into the newsroom, and when that song started, Vic put his hands over his ears.
Gag reflex happens when that song comes on.
It's only good, but you put your hands over your ears with your headphones on, so it's only going to get louder.
That's true. It was just a sign to you that
yeah. No, I can't stand that song either.
Oh.
So it's brutal. Ike and Country Club Hills, Bette Midler, Wind Beneath My Wings, and the reason why is because Count Fartula says something about the wind beneath his wings. Oh, I see why. Now, see, there's a reason why. Then hold it.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
No, that's not. Hold on. We got to just see what.
Into that.
Now, see, he's not going to say it, because, you know...
No, come on, Fartula, play
come
along.
On, Fartula, you know, it's a bit.
That garlic gets me every time.
Come on, dude!
He's hard to work with.
The wind beneath my wings.
Hey! Thank you, there it is! All right. Not to be outdone, but...
Wrong switch, Igor!
All right, these are my two friends. These are my best friends. That's what it's come down to, Dan. My two best friends on the planet.
Are they going
to
be your groomsmen at you're in Dana's?
Me and Dana, yeah. When Dana and I get married, yeah, absolutely. That was it.
Trick or treat.
Lee Major's going to walk her down the aisle.
You know, her dad did approve of me marrying her.
That's right.
I want you to know that, because I met her dad at Flashback. So he did approve. So doesn't know me very well, clearly. Well, there you go. Count Fartula did play along eventually. He's a tough guy, man. He makes a lot of demands. You should see their rider.
He's old and cranky.
He's just trying to get some. By the way, I told Dana that story. The old man trying to get some wedges. I told her Sunday night that story. She's saying that now all the time. I'm just an old man trying to get some wedges. So, anyway, we're talking game shows. And Dan's going to play some more obscure game show themes that I won't know. But we can always discover, you know, some of these new shows. Like, who knew Alex Trebek was a host of a Canadian game show called Pitfall that went bankrupt, and many of the people who won prizes didn't? Who knew that? That's a fun fact that you can throw out at a party tomorrow. Because, you know, lots of parties happen on Wednesdays. It's a big party night. Especially parties where you can talk about Alex Trebek and a Canadian game show. That is really interesting. All right, if you guys want to jump in, what are your game shows that you love? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, so I'm looking at this list of the greatest game shows of all time. And the first one, number 50 here, because it's the 50 greatest game shows of all time, just to jar our memories and talk about some of this stuff. Three's a Crowd. Are you familiar, either of you guys familiar with Three's a Crowd? Dan, are you familiar with Three's a Crowd?
I am not.
Mm-mm, no.
Now, and I'm not talking about the spinoff of Three's Company with Ritter and whoever the hell played his wife. Here's the setup for Three's a Crowd. Let me just preface this by saying this is a Chuck Barris production. So just know that if it's a Chuck Barris production, it might not be the most tasteful thing in the world, considering, you know, he did the dating game, Newlywed Game. He did the Gong Show. He was responsible for a lot of game shows that would push the envelope in terms of taste. It was very questionable stuff. So here's the setup, Dan. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
And I'm going to need you to look up the guy who hosted it, his name, because he had a horrible perm. That's the only thing I remember is that this was like an early 80s show, late 70s-ish. And this is the premise. This is the honest premise of this show. A married couple comes on the show with the husband's secretary. And then they're asked questions to see if the wife or the secretary know the husband better. That's the setup. I'm not kidding. That's the setup for the show. And like the clearly there were several guests on this show, several contestants who were sleeping with their secretary. These guys were sleeping. There's no question about it. And that's pretty much, you know, you'd win money, but I think more than anything else, the wives discovered whether or not their husbands were screwing around with them with their secretaries. And that's the setup. And it was one of the most uncomfortable shows to watch because they did like a Chuck Barris like tribute to Tastelessness on Game Show Network some years ago. And they ran a bunch. They ran this every night. They ran Three's a Crowd every night. And it was so uncomfortable to watch. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And you could see the women getting really mad. And then sometimes the wives getting really mad. And then sometimes, I guess, maybe the secretaries really do care for the husband and get mad when they kiss the wife. I'm telling you, Dan, it was unbelievable. And I don't know how long it was on. I couldn't have been more than
one season.
One season. All right. Who was the host?
The original host was Jim Peck.
Jim Peck. That's him.
Narrated by Johnny Jacobs.
Yeah. Johnny Jacobs did a lot of those shows. But Jim Peck, worst perm ever. Like if you Google that guy, what year was it on? Like 79, 80, 78, 79, something like that?
79 to 80, yes.
Okay. So that's a relatively obscure one, but it was so notorious because I think, and if I'm not mistaken, when they showed it on the Game Show Network, they had like some facts about it, and I think it caused like 8-9 divorces as a result of this game show, Three's a Crowd, where the husband and wife team up with the secretary. And I think it caused divorces. I remember watching it and just my jaw hit the floor. I mean, even for Chuck Barris, it was like, come on, man. But yeah, real game. Three's a crowd.
You know, it does list here that they did a reboot of it with Alan Thicke in 1999 that aired on the Game Show Network. But yeah. I mean, that is a prime reboot.
Yeah.
You know, opportunity because everybody has a work wife. And so, like, who knows you better, your work wife or your real life? You know, like, Vic could go on, it would be Jenny and Esmeralda, and,
yeah,
like, which one knew him better?
I'd
watch that.
Yeah. That's so funny. But the thing that, you know, the icing on the cake for me was his perm, was Jim Peck's perm. And the three-piece suits, because it was 1978, 79, 79, something, 80. And three-piece suits, bad, you know, like, big, thick ties with three-piece suits, that was the look. And he embraced that look and the perm. He was just a magnificent specimen. Now, I don't know the theme to that one. Do they have the theme song to that one? I don't remember the theme song to that one. Because, again, that one only lasted a year. But, I mean, nobody would have known about it had it not been, you know, had it not caused actual divorces and been so completely tasteless. Do we have Three's a Crowd?
From the Chuck Barris stages in Hollywood, California, it's Three's a Crowd. The game that determines who knows the husband best, his wife or his secretary. And now, let's meet the husband. Husband number one is the owner of his own business, and he prays that his business won't fall off. He's Jesse Fontanet. Husband number two is the president of one business, the senior vice president of another business, and his favorite position at home is none of your business. Welcome, Bard Bazaar. Husband number three is a rock hound, which means every Saturday he puts on a St. Bernard suit and gets his rocks off the driveway with his teeth. He's Fowler Hawks.
What?
Those are our husbands for today. And here's your host, the star of Three's a Crowd, Jim Peck.
That is a wacky theme song. That is a wacky theme. What the hell were those intros? What was that? Your favorite, his favorite position at home is none of your business. Is Jim Peck got? Is he sporting his perm?
Yes, yes.
Three's a Crowd. I can't believe they rebooted that with Alan Thicke. Why don't I remember that? 1999. I was obsessed with Game Show Network in 1999. I don't remember the reboot. All right. Stupidest thing. Oh, man, that's fantastic. From the Chuck Barris Studios. Fantastic. All right. We got a break here for the weather, and then after the weather, we'll come back from the break, and we're talking more game shows, and if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Anybody watch Three's a Crowd? I'm just curious now. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It was like watching a train wreck. 312-981-7200. It was a Halloween twofer. Yeah, man! It was a Bette Midler twofer. That was Ike and Country Club Hills requesting Bette Midler, I Put a Spell on You from Hocus Pocus. Do you know that that movie now, people like it?
Yeah, it's going to re-release.
And people, I had no idea that there was such a following for Hocus Pocus. People love that movie. I saw it when it came out. I thought it sucked, but it was a long time ago. But now suddenly, what, did John Carpenter direct it? Is that why people now like it?
Wow.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, will be here for your Tuesday morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk, text, and triple play Thursday. Or not triple play Thursday. What am I, moving 2 days ahead already? Two for Tuesday. So there you go. We're talking about game shows. Wheel of Fortune, as we discussed a little bit earlier, for the first time ever, is actually giving away a house. And so we've been talking about some of our favorite game shows, and Dan's been playing a few game show theme songs for me that, you know, are from pretty obscure shows. And, we, of course, we just discussed the genius that is Three's a Crowd. And let's see. Here is Doc on WGN. Hi, Doc.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I always like the one-liners on Hollywood Squares, and I want to share a couple of my favorites that I've never forgot.
Yeah.
Once they asked Paul Lynde, they said, what's the first thing you remove from the chicken to make chicken tetrazzini? And he answered, the rooster. And then once they asked George Gobel, they said, men cheat more in 1 month than any other. And the correct answer was December, but they ask him the question, and he looks up in the air and he goes, I figure about the 8th month.
That's fantastic. That is great.
All right.
I thank you, Doc. That is so funny. That is hilarious. I figure about the 8th. That was similar to what, you know, so, you know, Dan, they have these compilations of really stupid Family Feud answers that people give. And it goes all the way back to, you know, Richard Dawson, all the way up through Peterman and Home Improvement Dude and Louis Anderson. And now, of course, Steve Harvey. And some of them are so funny. One of them, Richard Dawson couldn't go on. This was during the big round at the end, you know, the bonus round. Because it's being timed, and he had to stop the timer. You know, he had to stop the timer because he could not stop laughing. And he said, "The question." I'm paraphrasing the question because I don't remember it word for word. But it was a question about pregnant women, and it was like, in what month do pregnant women begin to show? And the girl said February. And he lost it. He could not get it back together. It's a classic. I may have mixed it up. She may have said another month, you know, but that's basically what it was. What month? They said February. Man, here's Greg on WGN. Hi, Greg.
The rooster. Hey, imagine if I'm a fan of Buzzer TV, and I really got into watching the original version of What's My Line. Imagine if John Charles Daly from What's My Line went on to host the Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
You know, saying the word whoopee and asking these double entendre questions and giving these long-winded, wordy explanations to the contestants, and it just sails over their heads.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, Greg, I'm a fan of Buzzer, too, and I love the early black and whites. And I love John Daly. I think John Daly is, in the history of those panel shows, the best host.
I disagree. I think he was just really stiff, but that's just me. And also, just imagine him as a panelist in the 70s on Match Game.
Yeah, that would have been great. And a lot of those guys who hosted those panel shows did end up at some point, being on Match Game. Match Game started out as a panel show. Gene Rayburn himself appeared on a ton of panel shows in the 60s, late 50s and early 60s as well. So, hey, Greg, thanks for the call, man. All right. 630 area code says Pat Sajak has been hosting since 1981. So Sajak's been hosting since 1981. That's a long time, man. That is a long time to be hosting that show. So when he was hosting in 1981, I still think that they were doing the stupid shopping. I just remember when Chuck Woolery hosted it that they did the stupid shopping. But I guess Pat Sajak had to make the contestants shop for crap in this here's a porcelain Dalmatian for $45. That's worth $45 for $4,500. 815 area code, let's make a deal with Monty Hall. Let's make a deal with Monty Hall. Classic. Classic. And now Wayne Brady. Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch? Is now the host. And he's got that wacky sidekick guy. You ever watch that, Dan?
Here and there.
I can't remember the wacky sidekick's name, but he's wacky, and he's a sidekick, and he's always like trying to be funny. And, there was a documentary about... about game shows and stuff, and they mentioned Let's Make a Deal, and there's no rhyme or reason why they make the contestants dress up. So, because they all, even on Let's Make a Deal, you wear a costume. It's like it's a Halloween thing. And so, there I guess people started to come dressed up, and then I guess they said, okay, now everybody's pretty much got to dress up, because they wanted to get Monty's attention. That's why they would dress up in these outlandish costumes. Even when it first started, it wasn't like a costume game. But they wanted to get Monty's attention so that they would do a deal with him. So that's how it started.
Smart. Jonathan Mangum is the announcer
he's
for Let's
Wacky. He's a wacky dude, Dan. Let me just say that to you. Every once in a while, I'll watch a little bit of Let's Make a Deal before Price is Right, before the yodeling dude falls off the mountain and I go to bed. I usually watch a little bit of Price is Right. 312 area code says, my wife always watches General Hospital, which segues into Jeopardy. When I'm good at the question, she refuses to acknowledge my vast knowledge. Instead, she says I'm old, and that's how I know stuff. So General Hospital is one of the few soap operas that's still on. I think my mom watches The Young and the Restless still. I think that one's still on. I don't know. Hey, I don't care, because all my children's gone. I don't care about any of it anymore. 847 area code says, what about High Rollers with Alex Trebek, sorry, and Ruta Lee? They had a great drum beat into intro to that show. I'm telling you, man, it's a whole different world when you hear a game show theme. I mean, really, immediately when you hear that, you go, that's a game show theme. Even without knowing what the piece of music is, as soon as you hear it, you go, that's a game show theme. 312 says, love the Newlywed Game, of course. 773 area code says that my dogs get excited when the final Jeopardy music plays because they know it's dinner time. Okay, and then Peter in Decatur says, a bar I once frequented would switch the TV at the bar to Jeopardy every day at 4:30, and they would turn off the jukebox. All along the bar, you could see the TV, including the waitress and the bartender. They would yell out the answer. Then for final Jeopardy question, we consult each other for a collective answer. That's very similar to what I was saying about Simon's. Very, very similar. But the final Jeopardy was for money. So, anyway. All right. More game show talk coming up after the news, which is after this. Two for Tuesday. And this is our latest Two for Tuesday is Ernie requesting Annette Funicello with It's Really Love. Yesterday was her birthday. Oh, okay. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio Tuesday morning, and we're here till 5 a.m., and we've been talking about game shows and some of our favorites and some of the weirdest ones, and Dan's been playing back some some theme songs from the game shows, some relatively obscure ones as well. So, Dan, you got another one for me? Let's see if how I do on this one, and then I'll ask for a hint if I won't know it. Jeez. That sounds like a, you know, like a weird, like circus music. Who was what's the deal on the on this one?
Oh, hang on 1 second, Mike. Let me pull that back up here.
Okay. I don't recognize it right away. It sounds a little weird to me, but maybe with a couple of clues, I'll be able to guess what it is.
This aired in 1975.
Okay.
Hosted by Art James.
Art James.
Art James.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Gilbert was your announcer.
Mm-hmm. And it was on in 1 year, just 1 year in 1975?
Just 1 year.
Okay.
Was American. Was on NBC.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know. What's the name of that one?
The Magnificent Marble Machine.
Oh, I do remember that now. The Magnificent Marble Machine. Yeah, I do remember that. It was like a giant pinball machine.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to watch that. I remember watching that now because I was upset. I loved pinball when I was a kid. So. How about Treasure Hunt? Do you remember Treasure Hunt? No, this is before your time. Treasure Hunt was Jeff. What the hell was his name? Jeff. And he spells it G-E-O-F-F. Jeff. I can't remember. Jeff Edwards, maybe? He was the host. It was Treasure Hunt. And what you would do was he would pick somebody from out of the audience, and there'd be a whole bunch of boxes on stage of different size, and like gift boxes, like wrapped up packages of different size, big ones, small ones, all over the place. And then you would go up and you would pick one, and then he would tempt you with other offers, kind of like Let's Make a Deal. And then he would open up the box and you would find out what you won. And in there was like a check for 50 grand or something. It was like, so, yeah, and then there were zonks, you know, like on Let's Make a Deal when you get a zonk, you know, like, the, you know, I like the zonks on Let's Make a Deal. Like, oh, behind curtain number three, wow, it's a jalopy. And then it's like a car and there's a guy dressed up like a hobo, you know, sitting in it. But that Treasure Hunt, Jeff Edwards, I want to say, was his name.
It was Jeff Edwards, yes.
Okay. You remember Studs?
Do.
Yeah.
I was not supposed to be watching that show.
Oh, yeah, it was a little risque. I mean, that was on like in 91. You were like 10 years old or something. Yeah, you shouldn't be watching Studs. You know, Mark DiCarlo, friend to this radio station,
yes,
was the host of that show. That show was really popular for a while. It was a really popular show, and it was ridiculous. Tattletales, a classic. With one of the greatest themes of all time. One of the greatest theme songs of all time, Tattletales. It's fantastic. And that was Burt Convy was the host, the great Burt Convy. And the idea was it was celebrity couples, they were celebrity married couples, and they would separate them. Like in the first part of the show, the girls would be backstage with headphones on, and they would be in front of a camera, and they would show up on the TV screen in front of their husbands who would be in the studio. They would ask questions of the husbands, and the wives, and then they would turn off the TV feed of the women in the back, and the guys would try to answer the way that their wives would answer, and then they bring the wives back one at a time to answer it, and then they reverse it for the second half. The guys are backstage and the girls are out front. And that was supposed to get like really great gossip and insight into the famous marriages of Hollywood stars. Bobby Van and Elaine Joyce were on that show a lot. Bobby Van and Elaine Joyce. Bobby Van was the host of Make Me Laugh, the original Make Me Laugh. Gallagher was on that show on Make Me Laugh. I'm trying to remember if he smashed watermelons in the studio. I don't remember, but I remember, yeah, he was on the show. Guys like Kip Adada, Bruce Baum, who used to do Baby Man, Gary Shandling, was on Make Me Laugh. Gary Mule Deer. Because I watched it every night. I watched Make Me Laugh every single night. And those were like the classic guys that were on, you know, that were on the show. And then they brought that show back a few times. But it's still one of my favorites. Elaine Joyce, man. She was on. She and Bobby Van were on Tattletales all the time. And then Elaine Joyce was a semi-regular on Match Game. And, of course, one of my favorite stories ever is that Elaine Joyce had a brief relationship with J.D. Salinger. This is an absolutely true story. J.D. Salinger, the author of Catcher in the Rye, the shut-in, the guy who disappeared, from society, would watch Match Game. He was like, he would watch Match Game, and Elaine Joyce was a very vivacious, you know, beautiful woman, and so he took a liking to her, and so he called up CBS. Like J.D. called up CBS and said that he wanted to get in contact with Elaine Joyce, and then it happened. But I mean, that's like the best opening line ever. If you're trying to pick up a woman, and your opening line is "Hi, I'm the author of Catcher in the Rye," you're going to get lucky. That you're going to get a date out of that. If you call somebody up and go, "How you doing? I'm J.D. Salinger. I wrote Catcher in the Rye. All right, I'll be over in 15 minutes." And so she had a brief relationship with J.D. Salinger, which is one of my favorite stories ever. The thing that I love most about that story is that J.D. Salinger watched Match Game. That's the detail that's so fantastic about that. The guy who wrote my favorite book of all time, one of the most seminal works of literature in the history of the world, watched Match Game. And then Elaine Joyce ended up with Neil Simon. So apparently she liked writers. All right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Nick.
Hey,
I was thinking about the game Press Your Luck,
right?
The whammies.
Yeah.
But more importantly, how about the guy who figured out the rhythm, so he actually won, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a whole documentary about that. And, you know, technically, yeah, the guy didn't cheat, Glenn. He videotaped it on three. He had like three different videotape recorders. He taped it, and then he memorized the pattern of the big board. And
exactly, it goes back to the $64,000 question. That was a big cheat. That was in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Interesting. All right, Glenn, thanks.
Sure.
Okay, take care. Yeah, but that's you know, the guy didn't cheat, though. I got to say, and CBS couldn't do anything about it. He did not cheat. He watched the game, and he memorized, he learned what the pattern was so that he wouldn't get any whammies. And he started out, he was all slick, Dan, when he started out. Started out getting two whammies right away.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Just to
throw the scent off a little
nervous.
Bit.
Nervous.
Yeah. So he did that on purpose, and then he went on. He was the only contestant in the history of that show to be on 2 days in a row because he kept winning and winning. He kept winning. And by the way, the host of that show was Peter Tamarkin. And because this footage is available on YouTube. This is a legendary story. I can't remember the guy's name. He was like an ice cream guy. He drove an ice cream truck. And he was always trying to do get rich quick schemes. He was obsessed with them. He wanted to make fast money, and he would enter contests, and he would do weird things all in order to try and get some fast money.
Michael Larson.
Michael Larson was his name. Bearded guy. And he was married, and then so he memorizes this thing. He gets on the show, and he just kills it. He's just like he amasses the most money that they've ever had on the show. He stayed 2 days, and he walked out with like hundreds of thousands of dollars and prizes and vacations and all kinds of stuff. And then his life went to crap, like a lot of like that stuff. I mean, he was a pretty screwed up guy in the first place. But then he lost all the dough. He got divorced. He lost his house, and it turned out to be kind of a sad story. But that footage of him on the show is fascinating to watch him and to Peter Tamarkin's reaction to this guy just keep getting more and more money and no whammies and more money. He just, at one point, he just gives up and he's like, I don't even know what to say. It is hilarious to watch. And the thing is that the person who owns the rights to the movie is Bill Murray. And I don't know why they haven't made the movie. Because he's now Bill Murray is much older than that guy was when he was on. and he was going to play the part. But that would be a fascinating movie, because the documentary that they did, because Game Show Network did like a full-hour documentary telling that guy's story, showing the entire episodes that he was on and all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and they interviewed everybody who was associated with the show and friends and family members of this guy. He had passed away when they by the time that they did this documentary. I mean, it's really a fascinating story and one of the most legendary things that's ever happened on a game show. And again, the guy did not cheat. He did not. He got around the system, man. So, all right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and after we break here, we got weather, and then we'll do a commercial break here, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap it up. If you guys want to jump in with your game shows and your favorites and your memories, at 312-981-7200. Again, try to win that house on Wheel of Fortune, man. Jimmy Buffett's waiting for you. People who are just waking up have no idea what I'm talking about. And you can play pickleball with Jimmy Buffett. This is our last Two for Tuesday for the morning. Yeah! We'll do it again next Tuesday. Ernie requesting Annette Funicello with Pineapple Princess. Oh! Because it was her birthday yesterday. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We've been talking about game shows because the Wheel of Fortune is going to be giving away a house for the first time ever. That's what we've been talking about. So we got a bunch of texts here and some other game show memories that we're going to remember here. Then coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And at 6 is Steve Cochran. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, let's talk to Frank from Naperville on WGN. Hi, Frank.
Morning, Nick.
Morning.
One of the game shows that I loved, well, there's actually two of them, but the one that I really loved was called Tic Tac Doe with Wink Martindale.
Good old awesome Wink Martindale. Guy. Yeah, good old Wink Martindale. That Tic Tac Doe where you had to stay away from the dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the Joker's Wild.
Yeah, those were on back-to-back on Channel 32. Jack Barry.
Okay.
Jack Barry was the host of Joker's Wild. Now, there's a new version of Joker's Wild. Are you aware of this, Frank?
With Snoop Dogg, I don't think it does the classic justice.
No, Snoop Dogg hosting the Joker's Wild.
That's right. That's right.
It's ridiculous, yeah. No, Tic-Tac-Toe is great. And Wink Martindale, one of the guys who brought Elvis one of the guys who first introduced Elvis to America,
nice.
Was a great DJ and a great host and a fantastic game show host, and he also has one of the greatest names ever.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Frank.
Thanks. Nick.
Take care, buddy.
All right.
Yeah, Wink Martindale. That's a name right there. All right, 630 area code says, my mom went to high school with Gene Rayburn. He was voted class clown. Of course. You know, he's from the area. Gene Rayburn is from the Chicagoland area. 773 area code says that Margaritaville Housing Network was a sponsor of the U.S. Open Pickleball Championships. How have I not ever heard of pickleball, and there are the U.S. Open Pickleball Championships?
Give it 2 years.
Wow. Let's see. Emo says Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek, which they are, by the way, rerunning those in the afternoon on Buzzer. And those are pretty classic. 847 area code says, Nick, the Honeymooners $99,000 answer episode is a classic. Yeah, that's the best. Ralph can't answer the first question, which is the tune Swanee River, and that's the tune that Norton warms up, that plays to warm up. And that's and then he says, the texter says, bang, zoom. That is a great episode, classic. 231 area code says, when I watch old episodes of the newlywed games from the 60s, I often wonder, where did they find these people? I just think that's true. I just think that's true of like anybody who showed up on the newlywed game. 84815 area code again. He says, I like Tic-Tac-Doe with Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale getting a lot of love here late in the show. 630 area code says, the new Family Feud with Steve Harvey is a killer. The thing about that, and I think Steve Harvey does a great job. I really do. I think Steve Harvey is a great host on Family Feud. I really do. But the answers are getting a little bit more sexual and vulgar. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a prude, but they don't need, I mean, there's all kinds of genitalia jokes that they're throwing around on Family Feud. The first word in the title of the show is family. You know what I'm saying? I really don't think some of those. I remember some of the answers. I'm like, come on, man. The same thing with Match Game. Match Game's the same way. The new versions. 224 area, can you believe me, I'm being a prude, Dan. Me.
You're right, though.
Captain Sex and Violence and Swearing.
They'll all agree with you at the Margaritaville Complex in a couple years.
Yes, they You've already got me moving down there, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, I know your pickleball skills.
That's right. 224 area code said, he used to play along with Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader with Jeff Foxworthy. That's another show that made me feel like a complete moron. You know, that was a good show, though. I like that show. I'm not a big Jeff Foxworthy guy. If you've got a TV on top of a TV that's broken, you might be a redneck. Mike says, I've always loved the theme to the $1.98 beauty show.
Yes, it's a $1.98 beauty show, an entertainment spectacular if ever there was one, where beauty is not only in the eyes of the beholder, but also on this very stage. Tonight, the $1.98 beauty show will continue its relentless spoof of all of those other so-called beauty contests. And although this is not a real contest, we will bring you our version of the All-American Beauty, that one-of-a-kind girl who not only has personality and poise, but beauty and talent as well.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, the $1.98 beauty show will...
$1.98 beauty show, another... from the brain, another brainchild from Chuck Barris. But we can end on a high note because the host of that show, the one, the only, the genius that is Rip Taylor. one of the funniest men that ever walked the planet, Rip Taylor. That show was ridiculous, too. So, Dan, we got musicians coming in tomorrow, right?
Guys from Andrezza's Mustache for their annual Halloween gig.
Yeah, we'll find out what they're playing. A couple of my buddies will be coming in. Again, we might. I think we may even be speaking with Phil and Gotti two mornings in a row. All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up, and then after the news is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich.